Many men go fishing all of their lives without knowing that it is not the fish that they are after. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert Elvirely, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. Many men go fishing all of their lives without knowing that it is not the fish that they are after. That's our dear friend Thoreau who wrote these words. He lived in a cabin up in the north of Maine or Vermont or wherever it was, and he stayed in this cabin, I believe, for a full year to prove to himself that he could live off the land. And of course, any idiot could live off the land in those days because there were a lot of things running around the land. And there were a lot of plants that were edible. And there were a lot of animals that were edible. There were a lot of rabbits and squirrels and deer and everything else. Now, whether he's vegetarian or not, I'm not sure. But I believe that he ate them. So he points out many men go fishing all of their lives without knowing that it's not the fish they're after. He oftentimes would go in his boat in the little pond that he had right off of his cabin, and he would sit in his boat and fish. Now, the fish didn't bite to disturb him because they knew he was in meditation. And when he wanted to fish, then he would aggressively fish. When he wanted to meditate, he would be quietly sitting there, not attracting the fish to come and nibble on his bait. Or he'd put the hook in without bait on it. Nobody knew the difference except he and the fish. And that way the fish wouldn't come and disturb him. But what is it that men do when they go fishing? We wrote an article about that recently relative to my dad when he would go fishing and how he would use that as a time for quietness, meditation, to get his act together, to get himself in order. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. How many of you have a condition where you go? Do you go up to the power rock and stand there and just feel immersed in that power of the power rock? Have you got a power rock here? Over at Meal Meditations, I had a wonderful power rock. Right out in the middle of nowhere, a big field, you know, a big open area, trees all around it, and it was just private and perfect. And I'd get out there and I'd shout my meditations and sing them and just have a great old time. And I would get down off of that rock and I would just float back to the house. It was a wonderful thing. And there are special places along the path where I would sit and meditate. I would sit in the field of Akhenaten, the pharaoh who's the first pharaoh to have one god. And I was contemplating those things, the one god. And I'd sit in the prayer chapel of the Christ and think about all the beautiful things that he had written, that he had spoken, and that other people had written down about living a beautiful life like the Sermon on the Mount. And I was thinking of all those things. And this is really very important. It's like fishing. It's a time for you to get away. When a person sits in church, you don't go and bother them, do you? When a person sits in the boat fishing, you don't go and bother them. When a person sits on the bank of the river or the lake and throws a fish pole in, you don't go up to them and say, "Catching any fish? How you doing there? What about here?" Oh, you know. You just say, "Please respect the fact that I'm not really fishing. I'm sitting here meditating. This is my outdoor chapel. This is my outdoor sanctuary. I am meditating between God and God. And you're coming along wanting to get into my act because you feel so harmonious with this. Then sit right down and join me." So we don't really fish when we fish, unless we are fishing for our inner self and our inner awareness. And that's kind of beautiful if that's the case of what we're doing. But think about what you do. Think about what you do in your times of quietness. Think about where you have your place where you fish. Do you fish when you sit in a chair to read a book? Do you fish when you lay down in your bed? Do you fish when you lay down in the sun and just let the sun cuddle you? Are you meditating on the infinite creation, the infinite cause of all? When you climb the mountain here and you go, you get up to the top and you're puffing and puffing, and you sit down, do you say, oh, I'm so happy with my wonderful body. It's at peace. Or do you just sit there quietly and think nothing? But if you can think that you're so delighted with your body that it can handle all these wonderful things for you, it's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing. We have around us here perhaps the quietude of the centuries. Very little goes on around here. In this back country here, very little. And did you this morning say, I surround this property with my pure white light of love? If you did, that's great. And be real careful with your yeses, because some of you are giving me yeses here, and you know that that was not so. You speak other words, perhaps, and you speak beautiful words, and you speak positive words, but there are days that you forget. Do you get into the car and say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love? All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. If you make the car into a thing of itself and you say, this car is surrounded with a pure white light of love, you know, with its pure white light of love or with its whatever, you are being inconsistent with what you believe. You don't believe that car has a soul, a consciousness, a beingness. It does, but you don't believe that. Because if you believe that, you would not have to treat for it, would you? You would just speak your word that I am the pure white light of love wherever I go. All is in divine order. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. And when you're driving down the freeway and you're seeing these cars driving down the freeway, thousands of miles after thousands of miles after thousands of miles after thousands of drivers, if there are millions of drivers, and all of them driving not accident-free. See, if you say accident-free, then you got a problem. All of them driving harmoniously, harmoniously. All of them driving peacefully and lovingly, gently, each one concerned about their path, maintaining their right-of-way, maintaining their program. And that's beautiful. But that's what it's all about. And these are things that we want to have in our consciousness. These are things we want to know for ourselves. Because where is it that we do our meditation? Where is it that we do our introspection? Where do we find God? Do we find God in ourselves? Then why are you saying you got to go out into the forest? Why are you saying you got to go up into the prayer rock? Why are you saying you got to go up on Heinz's throne up there? You know, I mean, it's not bad. It's just you're taking your temple there. You're taking your God self there. You're taking your awareness there. You are emboldening and embodying and making beautiful that place. That place has no beauty or lack of beauty of itself. It's only you that go there and make it beautiful. But, hey, they have a right to... No. Nothing has a right to exist unless it exists in our consciousness. And I think this is something that's hard for us sometimes to appreciate. That dog has no reason to exist except to delight us or irritate us and make us mad and be a little puppy and mess all over the floor, you know. You know, we create that. We create that. Now, why is it that parents, the goofballs of the universe, create little children not knowing how to be potty trained the minute they come out of the womb?
Huh? Well, ba-doo-ba-doo, you know.
Why not?
Well, they haven't learned to use their muscles yet. They haven't learned to sit. No, it's that you haven't given them a small enough potty.
You've only got an adult potty there. Don't you see how difficult it is for your cat to use your potty? You got a spread leg over the wide seat there. Did you ever think of making a potty seat for the cat or the dog? I mean, they could be trained to do that too. They're not stupid. They're trainable.
And a baby is trainable too. You say, well, Herb, that is ludicrous. That is stupid. I mean, who ever heard of a baby using the potty at 2 days old or 3 days old? That's right. Who ever heard of it? Who ever heard of it? And does the mother feed the baby? Yes. Does the mother know that after the baby has been fed, it wants to go potty? Yes. Does the mother prepare the baby over the potty so that it can do it into the potty when it is ready? No. You are a bunch of idiots. You have dogs and cats, and you know that when you feed your dog, you take him out for a little walk afterwards because he wants to let it go through his system. The new stuff comes in, the old stuff goes out. And that's perfectly okay, but you know that. And if you don't do it and he messes in the house, that's your fault. Unless he's got a doggy door. But the thing is, you know these things and you can do these things. And this is wonderful. But you see, we meditate upon so many things and we think that there's a time and a season, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to be well and a time to be sick, a time to go to school and a time to get married. See, all these wonderful, there is not a time for anything. Why?
Our time's now.
Now is the only time there is. That's why. And if we're going to be saying that a baby of 1 week, 1 day, 12 weeks, you know, 8 months, 2 years, 5 years, has certain expectations, then that's what they will have. Now, if we have such good creators saying that these little children are responding to it in that way, we're very good. In fact, we make a whole industry out of it. We make a diaper industry. We make a pablum industry. The babies can only digest certain foods at certain ages. So, what did the kids do that were coming along with their mummies in the ages of the prehistoric man? Did they have pablum at the store they could go and get to feed to their children, mashed up potatoes, mashed up pickles and carrots and stuff? No. The mother fed them milk and also let them suck on a piece of meat or on a carrot or something else. And they would lunch on those things. And when they're ready to start eating it, they'd take a little bite. Not bad. And their stomach would start learning to digest heavier foods. And no time at all, they were off the bottle or off the nipple, you know, and they were being normal things. But you see, we have forgotten about these things. We have thought only that there is a traditional way to do things. There is a traditional attitude of things that are supposed to be done, and we have to live according to those attitudes and those ways. So who says? I tell you all, give me 12 test tube babies and give me 12 men and women or less who are the Christ. And let's see them raise the Christ. Let's see them bring out of these 12 infants the magnificent that they are, the beauty that they are, the ultimate being that they are, the original purity and integrity. Now, you can't even do that with yourself. How could you do that with somebody else? Stop and think. Ellen, how would you like to raise a bunch of kids right now? Ha, 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 ha. Ingeborg, what kind of mother would you make?
I would make a good mother.
That's a good statement to make. And Sylvia, what kind of mother would you make? Okay. You see, the thing is, you think you'd make a good, you're laughing, you think you'd make a good mother, but you'd make a good mother from the traditional point of view. You wouldn't make a good mother from the divine point of view. Look, you cannot even allow somebody else to be incorrect. How could you ever allow a child to be correct or incorrect and not chastise them to such a degree that they say, I'm going to leave home, you know? When we are working with each other and working with our world, if we do not have unconditional love, wow, then how could we expect to have unconditional love with little children who have to be spanked, who have to be made to obey, who have to be made to eat their food, made to do this and made to do their chores? Oh, my goodness sakes. Oh, my goodness sakes. You know what I mean? We think we would make good parents. Nonsense. There are people who are listening to this who are parents and who are good parents, but they're not real good parents. They're only human parents. Would that they could be divine parents, working with unconditional love, recognizing in each child their magnificence, their spiritual wholeness, their divinity, and not draw it forth, but encourage it. Let the child bring it forth at its own time. And its own time, perhaps, is right this minute. And not know perhaps about it. Now is the only acceptable time there is. You see, these are the thoughts that Thoreau had going through his mind, and that's why he wrote several very charming books. He was a man who listened to his inner self. He was a man who was like many of our young people today. He tests the laws. He didn't pay his taxes and they put him in prison, you know. He didn't do this and they made trouble for him. You see, he was testing it. He was like a little baby, testing to see what they can get away with mommy and daddy, you know. And mommy and daddy, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that charming? Oh, they're so wonderful. You know, and they're not. They're not. What they're doing is twisting your arm. They're twisting you around their little finger and getting exactly what they want, and they will never learn responsibility for themselves. They will never learn to be the master of themselves. They will look always to the outer for solutions and fulfillment, just like each of us have done. Now is the time for us to begin looking to the inner for the fulfillment. And when we look to the inner for the fulfillment, we'll find it. We'll find it, and we'll be very, very happy with it. But it's our choice. It's our choice. If I gave you one word, unconditional love, two words. If I gave you two words, and I said, make those the only desire you have for yourself in life, what would happen to you?
Done.
You would be the most fabulous people on the face of the universe. And you would not be unique. You would find there are a zillion more just like you. But there are also a zillion more that are still working on the other things. And they don't know what unconditional love is, because they think manipulation is the necessity. So I say to you now, go in peace. Many people go fishing all their lives without knowing that it's not the fish they're after. It's that spiritual awareness of themselves that they're after. And when they sit in quietness, with nothing to bother them, and knowing no one's going to come and intrude upon them, because they're fishing, you know, knowing no one's going to intrude in their life, then wonderful things can happen. Wonderful things. This is my blessing for you. I see each one of you now, master of unconditional love. I see each one of you living your lives so charmingly, so beautifully, so being yourself and having fun, that it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. It only matters that you are you, being yourself and having fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.